Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody has an absolutely awesome day today. A lot of stuff going on. Have a few different things I'm going to be talking about today. Going to be changing the pace of things. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Doing absolutely great. I really enjoyed having Chuck Baldwin on yesterday. Of course, as always, he always galvanizes people. People either really love him or they really don't love him. I personally like Chuck Baldwin. He's a friend of mine. I know not everybody agrees with him, and I'm okay with that because I wanted to have a really good dialogue yesterday. He really believes that the wall needs to be put up or some type of deterrent needs to be placed and put in place, such as no longer having the, gosh, how should I say, free stuff being handed out to the American population to incentivize people to come into the United States. And also he really feels as though that our wars of aggression around the planet are causing a lot of people to be displaced wanting to come to the United States. But he doesn't feel that the wall is necessary, that those two by themselves would basically take care of it. He does not want Trump to basically declare a national emergency to put the wall up, and quite frankly, neither do I. So it was an interesting conversation yesterday. The only problem we have is that this – We know walls work, and we know that the Democrats are never going to allow the social welfare program in the United States to be reduced because of Cloward and Piven. They want the destruction of the United States. So since we know the Democrats aren't going to allow a reduction of the social welfare system, we have to find some way to mitigate this massive influx of millions of people into the United States and make it legal. That has to happen. I think a wall is the simplest way. It's been a deterrent for thousands of years. I mean, it's a deterrent. They used it in castles way back when. And it's just, that's something that needs to be done. And, you know, fencing, walls. Austin talked to us about an active denial system, which is using sound waves, which they're pretty expensive, but they could actually put up every 400 or 500 yards on a wall in the middle of nowhere, and they could actually be heat sensitive as far as, you know, they could be directed on a turret, you know, automatically, and they could put out microwave energy. The problem with that unit is if a person was a sniper from 300 yards away, they could probably put a bullet through it and turn it off if it was an automatic deterrent system without being manned. So there's all kinds of things here that we need to realize, but Chuck was right. And that as long as we keep giving out free candy and free money and free phones and free housing and everything else, we're simply not going to be able to keep the people from coming into the United States. And that's funny to me also because nobody wants to talk about that at the White House or any of the other things that's being talked about. In addition to that, nobody wants to talk about our endless wars of aggression posted by the CIA. Also, people are now asking what happens if Ruth Bader Ginsburg cannot return back to work. And basically the answer is nothing. History is full of Supreme Court justices who are incapacitated or worse, and that's the price of life tenure, and it's worth paying, according to this article. In the past 2 months, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has fractured 3 ribs, had 2 cancerous nodules removed from her left lung, was absent from oral arguments last week and this week, and will miss another week's arguments as well. Doctors say they expect her to be back on her bench back in February. I don't believe that. I've not heard a doctor say that at all. And until then, she will review transcripts from her home and participate in court decision-making remotely. I don't believe that at all. But a return to work is not quite a critic. Say Ginsburg should have retired long ago, and her health issues are the latest evidence that justice should not be allowed to serve for life. Quite frankly, this is a sickly, sickly woman. And I personally don't believe she's going to make it through lung cancer. I don't, because that's got a 97% death rate. It's a very, very high mortality rate. And quite frankly, I think we're being fed a whole line of nonsense. By the way, babies are now being wanted in Nordic countries, particularly in Norway. In Oslo, it says Norway needs more children. I don't think I need to tell everybody how this is done, Norway Prime Minister said cheekily. She was raising a real concern. Too few babies are being born into the Nordic region, and the Nordic countries were a long bastion of strong fertility rates. However, it is no longer being accomplished. But now experience a decline that threatens that cherished welfare model, which is funded by taxpayers. Okay, this is some crazy stuff. In Norway and Finland, Iceland birth weights have dropped to historic lows in 2017, with 1.49 to 1.71 children born per woman. Just a few years earlier, the rates hovered around 2.1. So, guys, the white people are disappearing in Norway and in Sweden and in Finland. And I've been to all three of those countries. And at one time it was a very, very, very Nordic nation, but not anymore. So it's kind of crazy, Austin. Now you have some stuff you want to bring about Barr up. Let's talk about him, Austin. Let's go into detail on this guy.
Yeah. There, I've been doing a little bit more research. And to add on quickly to what you said about yesterday's show. Yeah. Chuck had some great points. That's why I brought rebuttals back to what he was saying to kind of add on to my point of view on different aspects of it. And the same aspect as far as the national emergency clause that Trump has basically said he may use. And that's why I brought that up as us being under a state of national emergency since 2001. But one thing that Chuck did say that was accurate was that when that national emergency was issued, our focus of aggression was pointed toward the Middle East. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but what I'm saying is, the issue that I have with the executive order basically coming in as an emergency and building the wall under that guise is the checks and balances pretty much cease to exist at that point. And what scares me isn't necessarily what Trump may do or expand his scope of power with that national emergency. It's what somebody else could do if they inherit this national emergency, say in 2020, by some absolute horrible hand we get dealt, some Obama 2.0 or Clinton 2.0 or whatever you want to name it, some hardcore liberal communist, is that very easily that precedent could be start being set of the same thing as Dad said yesterday, whether it be white conservatives or radio show hosts that are hardcore right wing, they call us, producing fake news. There's a lot of things that can be used about that. So yes, we do have, in my opinion, a national emergency, and he said that nobody brought this up 10 years ago in 2008. I disagree with that. I heard a lot of people bring it up. The problem is, 11 years ago in 2008, the influx of what we've seen had not grown to this level yet. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. It was a problem in 2008, but it's becoming a catastrophe in 2019 now. So just something I wanted to add on that. And yes, as we're hearing now, the Senate Judiciary Committee is having hearings for Attorney General nominee William Barr. Now, we talked about William Barr and his fiasco and involvement in the Iran-Contra affair years ago, and nobody has been asking a question that I've been very concerned about, Dad's been very concerned about, is Barr's legal crusade for blanket immunity for federal agents who executed American citizens during Ruby Ridge. Now, a lot of people don't understand this, but William Barr was the acting attorney general during Ruby Ridge and also the beginning siege in Waco until Janet Reno took over the Waco fiasco. This whole thing, the fact that he's already been attorney general. Now, I'm going to read you a few things here, and some of this stuff is going to get a little graphic because I'm going to bring up some stuff about Ruby Ridge that everybody needs to understand, because this is one of those stories that a lot of people choose to push out of their memory because of how horrific it was. We've been up to Idaho. Dad and I have been up there before. We've been to that entire area, and we've talked to people that lived up there, and pretty much every single person we talked to when we brought this topic up, it was one of those things where their face got beat red. They got incredibly aggressive, and they were like, "This is, I don't even want to talk about this. I'm so mad about it still." And that was 10 years ago when we were up there. Ruby Ridge happened in 1992. So this is one of those things that needs to get brought up, because William Barr was the acting attorney general during Ruby Ridge. Barr received a routine questionnaire from the Judiciary Committee asking him to disclose his past work, including pro bono activities, which he described as serving the disadvantaged. The disadvantage that Barr refers to was the time spent helping FBI agent who executed Idaho mother while she was holding her baby in 1992 at Ruby Ridge. Barr spent 2 weeks organizing former attorney generals and others to support the FBI sniper in defending against criminal charges in connection with the Ruby Ridge incident. The charitable work helped tamp down one of the biggest scandals during Barr's time as Attorney General from 91 to 93. Barr, at the time as Attorney General, is responsible for both the U.S. Marshals Service and the FBI, who was involved in the Ruby Ridge siege. Essentially, what happened was, after Randy Weaver was living on a mountaintop in northern Idaho, I'm going to keep this real brief, it's a long story, He was entrapped by undercover ATF agents, did not commit a crime. They basically got him on a technicality with short-barreled shotguns that were a half inch shorter than legally allowed by ATF without a tax stamp. Complete and total bogus entrapment. Well, U.S. Marshals trespass on Weaver's land. His 14-year-old son got in a gunfight when the U.S. Marshals killed him. His 14-year-old son was also killed while the U.S. Marshals was trespassing on private property. At the same time, his dog was also killed. Now, what got really dark about this whole story is that the rules of engagement that were given to the current snipers that were in place were incredibly open. They've never given rules of engagement like this, hardly ever, even in military combat zones in other countries. They essentially said, shoot on sight, is what it came down to. The following day, after his son was killed by the U.S. Marshal, before the negotiators arrived at the cabin, FBI sniper Lon Horucci, from a position over 200 yards away, none of you guys have shot any rifles, I mean, you can take guns way out longer than 200 yards, but 200 yards is a good distance. You have no formidable threat if you're a sniper at 200 yards, especially on U.S. soil. Nobody can see you, you're in full camo, you're hiding under a bush, which a sniper was, and Randy Weaver exited the cabin, was opening the shed to visit his dead son's body that was executed by the U.S. Marshal the day before. He was going outside to go see his son. No threat to anybody at all. Lon Horucci, the FBI sniper, Horucci, shot him in the back, shot Randy Weaver in the back, exiting his right armpit while he was lifting the latch on the shed to visit the body of his dead son. The sniper even testified in trial that he had put the crosshairs on Weaver's spine, but Weaver moved at the last second. Then it is Weaver, his 16-year-old daughter Sarah, and Harris, who was his friend at the time, ran back towards the house. Vicky Weaver flung open the door and was shot in the head by Horucci. The same round used to murder Vicky ended up wounding Harris. Vicky was also holding their 11-month-old daughter in her arms. Nobody was ever giving a warning or even a chance to survive. For 9 days, Sarah, the 16-year-old daughter, had to care for her baby sister as well as her 10-year-old sister, while the lifeless body of their mother decomposed in the family's cabin. During this time, their home, or it was referred to as a compound by the criminals that besieged it, by army, by the state of federal law enforcement, local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, Sarah and the other survivors had to endure the sadistic mocking from the FBI agents who murdered Vicky and Samuel, her 14-year-old brother, even coming on one morning with loudspeakers, taunting them, stating, "Good morning, Miss Weaver. We had pancakes for breakfast. What did you have?" While the 16-year-old girl had to sit in there and watch her dead mom lay on the ground and decompose while she continued to manage keeping care of her 10-month-old daughter or sister and her other 10-year-old sister. This was all under William Barr's tenure, and the sniper that executed her mom was completely acquitted of any and all charges. Even after an Idaho jury found Weaver not guilty, the Justice Department and the FBI were slammed for concealing evidence and showing callous disregard for the rights of defendants and the interest of justice. The Justice Department internal investigation even compiled a 542-page report detailing federal misconduct and cover-ups in the case and suggested criminal charges be brought against FBI officials involved in Ruby Ridge. Barr told the New York Times in 1993 that he was not directly involved in the Ruby Ridge operation at any way. 2 years later, the Washington Post revealed that top officials of the Bush Justice Department had at least 20 phone calls concerning Ruby Ridge in a 24-hour period before Vicky Weaver was executed, two of those calls directly involving Barr. In January 1995, FBI Director Louis Freech announced wrist slaps for the FBI officials involved. Literally, wrist slaps. They were demoted. No jail time, they were demoted. including his friend Larry Potts, who supervised the operation from headquarters and approved the shoot without provocation orders that circumvented the Constitution of the United States. The Justice Department paid $3 million to settle the wrongful death lawsuit for the Weaver family, but when Broward County, Idaho, filed criminal charges against Herucci, Barr sprang into action seeking full immunity for FBI sniper. Federal Judge Alex Kovansky warned in a dissent of the new James Bond 007 standard for the use of deadly force against American citizens, and I quote, he said, a group of FBI agents formulated new rules of engagement that permitted their colleagues to hide in the bushes from a distance and gun down men and women who posed no immediate threat. Such wartime rules are patently unconstitutional for any police action. This was William Barr. He went out of his way to make sure the sniper got zero charges, never went to jail, never even had to resign, never was anything at all. This same sniper was also involved in the Waco siege as well. This guy is a complete and total piece of crap, and I'm saying that lightly. And the fact that we're even considering putting him again in this position boggles my mind. This man not only was okay with having American citizens executed on U.S. soil, he got the culprits off that pulled the trigger to execute the American citizens and did so willingly and kept those men on the FBI force while he was still Attorney General. So when everybody's asking these questions, these little, oh, well, do we think he's going to do a good job as Attorney General? And not a single person has asked about anything of the direct involvement of Ruby Ridge or why he went out of his way to make sure that sniper received no jail time, didn't even get a manslaughter charge. This is the new world order government that we have warned everybody about. Trump has not been impressing me at all with his nominees.
Nope.
I don't even know what to say much more about this at all, Dad, but I wanted to bring this up because you guys know Ruby Ridge and Waco is a very just edgy point with me. Never been cool with it, not one single bit. And the fact that this lowlife, you know what, was acting attorney general's involved in it, and now we're talking about putting him back as the attorney general of the United States, I literally can't...
That's
just ridiculous.
Well, the same thing happened with Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is the same swamp rat that ruled Vince Foster's death as a suicide. This is all the same group of people here. This is all the George Bush group. This is all the neo-Nazi group. This is all the fascist group. This is all that group the Federalist Society wanted to put in. This is all that group. I mean, this is who they are. This is the group that basically worked with Prescott Bush, who was a Nazi, who basically wanted a fascist government in the United States, attempted to stage a coup in 1933 using former War General Smedley Butler, the most decorated serviceman from World War I, had multiple, I think he had two basically medals of honor. I mean, I don't think it's ever happened before. And so Smedley Butler basically wrote a book, you know, War is a Racket. After that, they tried to bring him in to start a coup to throw FDR, the communist, out, to put a fascist government in the United States, who then brought his son into power. This is the same Prescott Bush, Senator Prescott Bush, who then brought George H. in, who then brought George W. in. And this Bush White House, this Bush control, has been going on now since the days of Ronald Reagan, since 1980.
Yep.
It's been going on now, what, 20, 30, almost 40 years. And see, this is the same group of people that are involved again. They recycle them over and over. If they do what they're supposed to do, they bring them back. And I, quite frankly, I'm not saying that no one else has talked about his involvement in Ruby Ridge, but it sure isn't being talked about in these Senate hearings, and it sure isn't being talked about on mainstream news. Nobody's talking about it. I mean, the problem with all of this is they blew her head off from 200 yards and mocked her children in the cabin for absolutely set up Trump charge. I mean, unbelievable. And then had to pay millions of dollars to Randy Weaver. Millions of dollars, Randy Weaver, for what they did. And I remember when we went up there. Austin and I did. We were there. We drove the RV up there. This is like I think it was 2000, it was 2011. It was 8-9 years ago. We drove up there, and we also found out there were FEMA camps in that area, and we went to the sheriff's department. To the sheriff's department right there in Ruby Ridge, right there downtown. Austin remembers this. You know, and basically, I forgot the name of the town there. And we knocked, we buzzed on the buzzer, and we said, we want to ask you about the FEMA camps. And instantaneously, this locked door opened. Said, oh, we want to talk. We don't want to talk about that right now. We don't want to talk about that right now. They wouldn't do it over the intercom. They had to come talk to us in person and basically ask us to basically skedaddle, which we did. And I thought to myself, what a weird situation for all of these people up here. First, you got hit with Randy Weaver. You got hit with Waco. And then you got hit with Waco. And then you got all the stuff with the FEMA camps. Guys, this is the deep state. If people think that Donald Trump is putting people in charge who are going to eliminate this deep state, he's putting some of the most crooked, some of the vilest people in power. And three perfect examples of that: Barr, Gottlieb, and the Kavanaugh. I mean, and it goes on and on with the Goldman Sachs people he's putting in. He's completely and totally being controlled. And you guys will, well, Q's doing this and Q's doing that. I have a friend of mine who's got a website. She sent out some stuff today, and I sent her an email back, and I chastised her. I said, you know, this is all complete disinformation. I said, you know, she likes to call it hope porn, but it's not. It's complete and total disinformation. And one thing that was said is that basically they said that no sooner had DeFango taken credit for spawning of Q and called every alpha grifter that the high-octane tweets of Rubini sprang to fore with claims that the military tribunals, listen to this, that we've been hearing about have already begun. This is a complete lie. They have not. And there are no official reports of these, of course, because by law, proceedings involving national security are secret. Total makes stuff up. He says the facts will become known after the new attorney general. Listen, William Barr is sworn in.
There you go.
See, he's trying to get the people. This is disinformation, BS. It makes me want to cuss. Because, oh, we got to support him because he's part of Q. He says the trials are being filmed. No, they're not. To be made public? No, they're not. With sources assuring him that John Brennan's wife will be broadcast live? Will not be. This is all lies because he's promoting this Attorney General, William Barr, to be sworn in to support the Q people. Guys, unbelievable. He's saying that basically that these people, all these different people who are under investigation, all these other people that have already basically turned state's evidence, and now he's saying that these are his opinions and that basically this is what's going on and based upon what his extensive knowledge has shown. Guys, the people who are involved in this Q initiative, the real higher-ups, the ones that are running the PSYCOM, which is what this is, I believe it was started off legitimate. I really do. But the guys that are running the PSYCOM now saw the power of this movement and that the underlying social media and underlying alternative media that would support it will bring tens of millions of patriots into the fold now to support William Barr, the mass murderer of Waco, of Ruby Ridge. That's what he is, killing multiple people. And letting his wife lay there like this for 9 days as she decomposed. I mean, I can't imagine the mental, spiritual, psychological backlash, the post-traumatic stress disorder that Randy Weaver's daughter is currently suffering from. I can't even imagine it. I mean, I don't even know how in the world she's dealing with what she saw and what she was involved in. And now again, another deep state George Bush swamp rat is being brought back to us again and getting recycled. Why are they doing this? Because basically, guys, this is what they do. Real quick update. This mystery virus is spreading like wildfire across the United States population, putting people in bed for an entire month. Is this a bio-weapon experiment, a depopulation experiment? A cough could be rather annoying, especially when it keeps you up at night. You at least take comfort in knowing that it tends to run its course. However, this stuff has stayed with people for over a month. Intense coughing, they're coughing up a lung. If you guys remember, I went into that doggone walk-in clinic back in 1st of November, and I caught this mess. And it stayed with me for several weeks. Finally, after I really, really started hammering the Health Master's protocol as far as the healthy immune system protocol and bumped my vitamin C up to 7,500 milligrams a day, I got rid of it. Guys, this is wicked, wicked stuff. The best thing you do for your lungs is the vitamin C. Make sure you use the vitamin C ascorbate, or it'll give you really bad cramps in your intestinal tract. That's what we have at the vitamin C, the excellent C that we have at Health Masters. Take 10 a day, 5 in the morning, 5 at night. You feel any of this stuff coming on, take the astragalus, take the oregano, take the vitamin C, take the iodine, take the D3K2, take all of this stuff. And if you start getting a sore throat, immediately start taking at least 4 to 6 astragalus a day until that's, in fact, I'd start with 6 until that sore throat goes away. Very, very important. You guys, if you're around somebody who's sick, get up and move or ask them not to come to your house. If you're sitting in church and somebody's coughing up a lung behind you, move. Just move. Just go somewhere else. Don't make a big deal about it. Obviously, they shouldn't be there anyhow. And if you're sick, don't go to church. Don't go to church. Yeah. And don't run around hugging people and don't be shaking everybody's hand. It's absolutely ridiculous how bad this is and what's happening with people all over the country right now. Very, 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 very important that you understand that. By the way, the CDC role in undoing vaccine exemptions is the NACCHO front group. Now listen to me for a second. This is really important. This is basically not the Nacho group. Sounds like a bad acronym from an Austin Powers movie, but it's one of the most powerful anti-vaccine choice groups in the country. Here's what it is. It's a National Association of County and City Health Officials. That's who they are. If you briefly pursued their web, peruse their website, you may find, might be confused in the thinking they're a federal agency of sorts. They're not. Guys, this is a group on the county and the state level and the city level that basically don't want you to have any vaccine exemptions whatsoever. And they are working with the CDC to try to force all of us to be required to take vaccines, regardless if we want to do it or not. They want everybody on the vaccine bandwagon. By the way, Newsweek also just absurdly lied and said that vaccine entails no health risks. They forget about the $4 billion paid out to the vaccine compensation fund. And so, guys, this is a full-blown war. Why? Because there's an anti-vaxxer movement. It's growing. And we have to basically make people realize that this is a major problem that we're having with people. It's primarily part of the eugenics protocol to massively reduce the population of the planet. One of the four things the Jason scholar said had to be done as far as reduction of population of the planet. Guys, please listen to me. Read about vaccinations for you and your children. Make a concert effort, a concerted effort. I've got a friend of mine right now. He had a son who basically had a baby a month ago. And we sent this kid all of this information, this son, on vaccines. And quite frankly, the kid's stupid. I'm just going to be blunt. You know, he's got some smarts as far as business stuff. He has no common sense, has never had common sense, would not even read the information that we sent him. And by the time the kids was the first day, that child already had 4 vaccines. I mean, this is absolutely insanity that stuff's going on. But guys, it's not going to get any better. You've got to realize you have rights, at least in most states, apparently not in all states. Yeah. You have rights in most states, and we've got to maintain those rights, and we have to stand against this tyranny. Medical tyranny is what it is. What do you think, Austin?
You're 100% right, and this is what I've talked about for so long, is that I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm anti-toxic vaccine. I've been very clear on that with a lot of people because of these nasty, nasty adjuvants that are added to them. I mean, we've seen all the way from pig virus DNA to monkey kidney cells to one of the most sadistic ones to me is the aborted fetal cell tissue from human aborted fetuses, little babies that didn't get a chance to live. They were executed. One of the 41 million of the aborted babies globally now. They put that in vaccines. On top of that, they do aluminum, a massive amount of aluminum. Another one I saw the other day, a huge one that's becoming more popular now, is industrial grade benzene. Benzene is an unbelievably toxic carcinogen. I mean, it's not healthy at all to ingest or be exposed to, and they got it in vaccines that are injecting into your body. I mean, this stuff, you really, really, really have to do your research on this and do your best, because this is something, in my opinion, I talked to you guys yesterday about that Hexa vaccine. 6 vaccine and one that the FDA approved from GlaxoSmithKline. I mean, I talked on the show the other day, Tuesday. And I mean, how they had 36 children die during the 2-year trial test of this vaccine. Die. Directly related to this vaccine. Die. And thousands of other extreme adverse effects from it. And that's fine. FDA approves it. Oh, because, you know, we have Gottlieb running it, who used to work for Big Pharma, and that's okay. We'll just put it to the market. These vaccines are not what we're being told. We're being lied to, blatantly lied to. And the fact that they're continually pushing them on the population while the rate of autism and cognitive disorders is going through the roof just shows you how much of a conspiracy this is behind the scenes that they don't want to talk about. Because when they start coming in, guys, remember, I've repeatedly warned about this. When these states start coming in now and start saying, listen, you have to be forcibly vaccinated. You can't not be vaccinated. They're telling you, and they're taking away your constitutional rights, essentially to freedom, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, by saying, we're going to tick a needle and forcibly inject it into your body, and then we're going to push the plunger and inject unknown toxins that you have no idea are in this vaccine that, as we can obviously see on the inserts now, are unbelievably horrible, from aborted fetal cell tissues to benzene to thimerosal to polyasorbate 80 to aluminum, everything. And we're going to inject this into your body, and you're going to like it. And if you don't like it, and you don't do it, and you don't allow us to forcibly inject you, we're either going to make your life so miserable and prevent your children from being able to do anything, prevent you from being able to do anything, and at some point in time incarcerate you until we can forcibly vaccinate you. That is, by all means, medical martial law. That is a tyrannical government that's out of control, because when they say you have no right to say what goes in your body, it doesn't involve anybody else. It involves your body. You have to take what we tell you to take, and you have to take it now. That is something that you should always question when anybody says, you have to do this right now. Always. Anytime somebody does that, regardless of what it is, you need to do this right now. Anything that usually is really, really good, in most cases, can take at least a short period of time for research, to do your background, to make sure everything's going good. Rarely does anything have to be done right this split second, or else there's going to be horrendous consequences from it. Obviously, there's exclusions to that, but you get what I'm saying. So when they come in with this, you have to do it right now. You have to do this. You have to do that. You can't go anywhere, do this, or go to school unless you have this. That is another reason right there why you should question everything about vaccinations. Also, too, in other news, this is a video that somebody sent me. Actually, I had a couple people send this to me, and I thought I was going to comment on it because I found it to be very interesting. A North Carolina man, there's a video that's gone viral of a North Carolina man punching a young black girl in the face that has led to his arrest. Now, the story has not gone into detail on most of the news feeds that I've watched on this video, and I want to kind of give everybody my take on it, because this is a very interesting situation, because I've actually been in a situation similar to this before. I'll tell you that in a second. But there's a video that surfaced. It's in the Asheville Mall in North Carolina that's gotten a ton of attention. The authorities arrested the individual, Stephen Bell, for assault on a 12-year-old black girl. The footage shows a crowd from what I can see, about 12 to 13 black girls, anywhere from about ages of 12 to 15 to 16 years old, surrounding Bell and his wife and son and cornering them up against the wall on a sidewalk outside of the mall. While there's no information on how the altercation began, you see Bell, the individual, is pushed from behind by one of the black girls, and he stumbles forward, stops, turns around. He's constantly doing 180s because these girls, they're literally surrounding him in this video. I mean, they're completely all the way around him, screaming, yelling, cussing, acting like complete and total lunatics. But so one of the girls then comes up to push him again. He pushes her back. Then she goes charging towards him and puts her hands up at some point, and he hits her right in the face, and he hits her hard. I mean, in my opinion, he hit her incredibly too hard. The problem is, when the arrest record, you can see in the video, the arrest record shows he's 6'5" and 250 pounds. He's a big boy. And he straight knocked this girl out. And I think it could have been handled a little betterly. However, I'm going to give you my take on it in a second if you guys saw this video. And Bell was charged with 2 counts of assault on a female and assault on a female under the age of 12. The girl reportedly refused medical attention, and her parents have not come forward with a statement at all. He's due in court February 5th that the county courts show. Now, it's very strange because you can see there's like 12 to 13 black girls that are surrounded him, screaming at him. His wife is huddled up against the wall. They got like a 3-year-old son that his wife's kind of standing there looking at. And Barr is trying to figure out what's going on as he gets shoved and everything else. I don't know what happened in this situation and what started it. But I do know when you're in a situation like this, you tend to have to react quickly if something does start to occur. Now, do I think these 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old black girls were probably going to do him great bodily harm at his size? No, I don't think so at all. I think he used a bit of excessive force on this female, considering how small they were and their age. Even though they were being extremely aggressive and violent with him, he did have his family involved. So there's two sides to this. The reason why I bring this up is years ago, this is back when I was a heathen, I went to a homecoming football game at Auburndale High School. I was 18, and I was working out a lot. Had trained in shoe fighting, jiu-jitsu, karate, a lot of different stuff. So, I mean, I like to fight, especially for a good reason. I was never a bully. I didn't like to pick on people, but I did like to fight. And I was at the football game. The very people who actually know this story, this whole video that I watched brought a whole lot of this up, and I thought about it the other day. So when I say I was involved in something like this, I want you guys to understand where I'm coming from. So I was at a football game, and I was there to basically talk to a girl and meet one of her friends. And so I did. I was there. And this black male walks up to me about my size. He's probably 16, 17. I was about 6 foot, 160 pounds. And I had my phone out. I was getting the girl's phone number. Again, I'm 18. And he closes my phone. It was back when we had flip phones. And I looked at him. I said, "You touch my phone again, I'm going to knock you out, boy." And he got looked at me real weird. He's by himself. And he goes, "Oh, you're not going to do nothing." And turned around and walked off. And I was like, well, that was really odd. About 5 minutes later, we walked over to the side of the bleachers. I was getting ready to leave. And all of a sudden, here comes this black male approaching me with three other black males behind him. And at the same time, I see out of my peripheral at my 9 o'clock, there's two other black males approaching me from my left, one of them being the largest one. He was probably like 6'1", 6'2", about 250. He was a big boy. You could tell he played ball or did something. And so the one individual that I had the altercation with a few minutes earlier, he walked up to me and he just started telling me how he was going to start doing this and I wasn't going to tell him anything, and basically started multiple racial slurs towards me. And I'm addressing the situation. I really didn't say much because, I'll be honest with you, I mean, it spooked me a little bit. You've been in a lot of fights. I even did 3-on-1 fighting when I was training in karate. So I knew how to address the situation. The problem was, when you're dealing with 5-6 people on one, it gets really, really bad really fast, especially if you don't move abruptly. And so I knew that as soon as something happened, I was going to have at least the big guy on top of me. So I knew basically I had to do at least either a headbutt or a throat strike on the original individual that was addressing me, and then I was have to go for a knee strike on the guy beside me. I'm thinking about all this while this is going on. I'll be honest with you. I remember this. That was very clear. And literally, like a blessing from God, about 2 seconds later, two uniformed police officers walk around the corner. One of them pulls out his flashlight, and they basically say, "What's going on here?" Of course, the black guys disperse very quickly, act like they have no idea what's going on. And I looked at him. I said, "Nothing, man. Don't even worry about it." And I got in my truck, and I ended up leaving. I never even actually hung out with those girls again. I knew, obviously, if those people were even around them, that they were bad, bad news. My whole point in telling you the story is, when you're an adult and you're a male and you have somebody even in a more precarious situation like he did with his wife and son, and you have a group of individuals that become incredibly belligerent and aggressive with you, sometimes you have to react very quickly. Now, I was blessed. I didn't have to get in a huge fight with all these guys because law enforcement was already there. These girls probably were not going to do Bell a lot of harm, but at some point in time, after he got shoved multiple times and they were screaming and yelling at him and surrounding him, he felt like his family was threatened, and he decided to take appropriate action with the one girl who you could see was primarily instigating it by hitting her in the face and knocking her out. That all being said, I just wanted to give you my take on the video because I found it very strange, because he got eviscerated on social media, by the way. I mean, every racial slur you could think about, every single word. I mean, I'm reading some of these comments. I mean, people are just eviscerating him. And the fact about this is, you don't know how that feels until you get in that situation and you realize if stuff goes sideways and somebody pulls out a blade or a box cutter or somebody pulls out a pistol and you got 5, 6, 7, 12 people that you have a significant threat surrounding you at a point in time, you have to act very, very quickly, because at that point, things happen literally in milliseconds, not even seconds anymore. They happen in milliseconds. And that's how he handled the situation. Of course, we'll see how it, I'm going to follow this and see actually what happens in the court and see how it goes. But when you're out there, I've noticed this has been going more on now. We've seen this in the malls with a lot of these kids, 100, 200, 300 kids mob these places, rob these stores, go to these malls. And this is something that's not acceptable to me. And if you want to act that way, you need to expect and understand the consequences that are going to occur. If you take a family and you corner them in a wall and you surround them by 12 of your friends and you start screaming and cussing and shoving them, be expect to get hit in the face with zero remorse. That's pretty much what I have to say on the entire topic, Deb.
I saw the same video. And I thought about it, because I've been in situations that are really negative, and I'm not going to really discuss any of that about me, but it was a long, long time ago, and I'm 63 years old now, and I just do my best to avoid all of that stuff. And I carry a Kimber with me, and if I can't go into it, if it's a no-go zone, if you can't carry a gun in it, I just don't go. Don't go. I just don't go there, because that's how I look at it. And so I saw the same video, and here's what I will say. I've seen this happen before in fights. Not with me personally, but I've seen it happen before. Well, one person will get behind the other person and bend down. The other person will push him and trip him backwards. Okay, I've seen it happen. And when that happens, I don't care if they're 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, if they've got a pipe, if they've got a rock, if they've got a bottle, if they've got anything, and they start pummeling you with that stuff in the head, there's not much you can do. They're going to knock you out, or they're going to bleed you out, one of the two. And so it's a very awkward situation for this guy to have been in. I wish I had known the entire story of it. But the reality is this. If I was in that type of situation, I would try to extricate myself first. Calling 911 at that point is useless because they can't be there quickly enough unless it happens like you, a police officer walks up.
Yep.
And quite frankly, I want to know what happened. Now, when he hit this girl, she pushed him the first time. He pushed her back. She came up and started throwing punches at him, and he straight cold cock knocked her out, which shows how incredibly stupid, emblazoned, and basically out of control that she was 11 years old, and she went after a 6'5", 250-pound guy. I mean, she really thought she had the world by the tail on a downhill drag because she had her friends backing her up. Now, I've seen kids this age who've got into gangs. I don't know if these girls were in gangs or not. And I mean, with the Bloods and the Crips and the girls and all the people they hang out with who have to basically do what they need to do in order to become parts of these unbelievably horrible gangs. And this isn't just black, by the way. This is black, this is white, this is Hispanic, this is Chinese. This is every single group of children out there who get involved with these horrible people, make really bad choices really, really fast, and a lot of them don't get past adolescence. They get killed. Now, personally, I don't think the man should be charged for whacking this girl because of the situation he was in from the video that I saw, unless something else comes up. Should he have not whacked her as hard? Probably. Okay? But the point is, you know, when you're basically getting a girl or a guy, it reminds me so much of what happened with Trayvon Martin down here in Florida with Zimmerman. And all of a sudden, Trayvon Martin basically jumps on top of this guy. He'd been trained in shoot fighting on top of the little short, fat, white guy. He wasn't Hispanic, but his name was Zimmerman. And one German, he was Hispanic. And jumps on top of him and starts beating him. I mean, busting his head into the concrete. And then Zimmerman pulls a gun out and shoots this 17-year-old in the chest. And, of course, the next picture you see with the gay Kenyan was Trayvon Martin running around about 10 years of age with an Ola Mills photo, it looked like, basically showing this little bitty boy who got shot in the chest. And then you found out the guy's like a 6'1" shoot fighter, 17 years old, who may be a minor, but he knows how to fight. So, you know, you get in a situation where you don't know what to do. So here's the thing I always tell people, and here's the simple way of looking at all. There are certain places you don't need to go. I don't know where this place was. There are certain things you don't need to say. There are certain groups you don't need to engage, especially if you think they're gang-related groups, and just avoid them. And more, these things, because of social media, get blown into this mess. Like, this girl's parents have not even come forward now to say anything about why this has happened. You know, they have parents that are gang members. You don't know. You don't know anything that's going on in this whole situation. So here's the thing. Guys, listen to me. This is so important. Avoid situations like that, number one. If you get into it, try to extricate yourself, number two. And number three, if you have to, dial 911 in the middle of it. If you can tell your wife, you should have turned around and told his wife, dial 911. because at least that way you're making an effort to engage law enforcement. And at that point in time, if something happens, you say, I called 911, they weren't here quickly enough, we felt a fear for our life, etc. But guys, I don't care if a person is 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they can spray you in the face with pepper spray, they can cut you, they can knife you, they can club you upside the head with a baseball bat. I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff like that in my life. A lot of kids aren't raised as children. They're raised as gang members, and they can also sling an AK-47. You see it over in Somalia and everywhere else, these 8-9-year-old kids who basically go out as soldiers, who basically are taught to kill people. So, guys, think through where you go and what you do, and we'll find out what happens in February when this guy gets arraigned. By the way, one more thing about immunizations. I want to talk about the formaldehyde and the immunizations. Formaldehyde exposure is linked to dementia, diabetes, and depression. Formaldehyde destroys cells by cross-linking proteins, and they're putting formaldehyde in immunizations. Combined formaldehyde burden from childhood vaccine schedule is a cause for alarm. Formaldehyde is used in activate living pathogens in vaccine production. In other words, it kills what's in it. It only constitutes a small percentage of the entire vaccine formulation. However, it is still in there. You have up to 100 micrograms of formaldehyde injected into children in one dose. Sherry Tenpenny, founder of Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center, basically who's an anti-vaccine advocate, she's recommending that people with all these different vaccines are subjected to a whopping 795 micrograms or 1.7595 milligrams of formaldehyde. Of course, all of this stuff are carcinogens, and they need to be taken out of the body and out of these vaccines. Kerosene is an anti-aging, anti-glycation, heart-healthy, and immune system boosting. It could also be used. The addition of kerosene also seems to mimic the action of a class of pharmaceutical antidepressants known as MAO inhibitors, highlighting its potential for improving cognition and well-being. But see, all of these different things that are being put into these vaccines, can be helpful. You can avoid with antioxidants, and you can help protect against formaldehyde exposure with kerosene supplementation. So, guys, it's so important that people realize that these vaccines that people are having put into their body have all type of chemicals and adjuvants added, and they're incredibly dangerous, and they really, really, really need to be eliminated in your life if you're going to be having given the choice to do all that. By the way, it looks like Costco, reports are saying that they now are talking about not selling glyphosate-based weed killer Roundup on the shelves anymore. So if Costco does that, there are many moms across America and other groups that are around across America trying to get them to do it. They're trying to get other people to stop carrying Roundup also in glyphosate products. Guys, if we can do that and get this stuff off the shelf from a consumer movement, activist movement, it's going to make our life a whole lot better getting this horrible, horrible weed killer off the shelves. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people know my stance on glyphosate and Roundup and all these different herbicides and pesticides and you name it. I mean, there's a laundry list of toxic stuff. It's definitely something to stay away from. Also, too, in other news, another study came out again by researchers from Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. The study was published in the Journal of Kidney International, saying that heartburn medication in PPIs is leading to severe kidney damage now. There was already a research study done about this just a couple of years ago. I'll get into it again. But now we're having multiple research studies done showing these heartburn medications are leading to straight kidney failure. They discovered the problem was quite widespread when more than half of the 125,000 patients taking PPIs developed chronic kidney disease despite not having any signs of acute kidney problems. The PPIs, or proton pump inhibitors, are a category of drugs that are among the most commonly prescribed for dealing with acid reflux and heartburn. Doctors normally monitor patients who take PPIs for early warning signs such as swelling of the ankles, feet, legs, nausea, decreased urination, and then are supposed to take patients off the drug right away should those occur. However, this study was found that these warnings don't usually even happen, or they are overlooked in many cases, and patients are going into full-blown chronic kidney disease. These findings are supported by past studies I mentioned a second ago, like one from November 2015, which discovered those who had taken PPI drugs had a 20 to 50% higher likelihood of developing chronic kidney disease when compared to those who didn't take the drugs. And a different study that same month showed a quarter of patients who developed chronic kidney disease eyes. So it's not even a question anymore of these proton pump inhibitors, whether or not they're causing kidney issues. They do cause kidney issues, and in most of these cases, we're seeing that it's leading directly into kidney disease. And again, remember I told you guys before, I did a whole show on PPIs, me and Dad did one time. A lot of these PPIs were never, ever, ever designed to be used long term. Even the doctors and the pharmaceutical reps and the individuals that first started selling these products would say these are supposed to be used for 4 to 6 weeks maximum, no more than 4 to 6 weeks. The problem is when you start realizing that you can keep people on these drugs and they're incredibly addictive to the body, as because the body has to keep getting this, or has this massive reinflux of acid production, so the people get hooked on these things, not because they want to, because their body just doesn't respond. If they come off them, they start having diarrhea and indigestion and all this horrible heartburn as soon as they come off the PPIs. They stay on them, and then they come down with kidney disease. So, guys, please stay off these drugs unless you absolutely have to use them. If you do use them for a short time to clear up an ulcer or something like that, the digestive enzyme blend that we carry, that is an incredibly effective product to help out with digestion and reduce heartburn. And staying away, please, stay away from all the garbage food. You know, with all the super, super deep fat fried food and the canola oil and the corn oil and all the GMOs and all the nasty preservatives that are in all these foods all the time, people are wondering why they're having digestive issues. Stay away from that stuff. You can also use our GHI Cleanse, which is an incredibly effective anti-inflammatory protein shake, and it also has digestive enzymes in it as well. You can also stack our digestive enzyme blend on top of that if you need more help with digestion. But I just wanted to bring that up, Dad, because literally it's like almost every time I turn around, there's another research study that's linking PPIs directly to kidney disease now.
The kidney disease problems is a real problem with the PPIs. We've talked about this before, and you know, also the kidney disease is, kidneys really, really affected by, you know, statin drugs. And so a lot of people end up with being on PPIs and statin drugs simultaneously, Austin, and then they start having kidney function. That's why there's so many renal dialysis centers all over the country, because the drugs they're being given are literally destroying their kidneys. It's so important that people realize that. By the way, National Security Advisor John Bolton apparently now could be steering Trump into a war with Iran. I just thought I'd mention that. Last September, when Shia militants launched 3 mortar shells into the Green Zone in Baghdad, all of which exploded in a vacant lot, Bolton directed the Pentagon to prepare a menu of targets inside Iran. Here we go. For U.S. air and missile strikes in retaliation. Bolton has an ally in Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who wants to expel every last Iranian boot from Syria. Of course, there's no proof there are any Iranians in Syria. That's just what they tell us. The U.S. intelligence community has repeatedly rejected claims by U.S. neocons in Israel that Iran has nuclear weapons. It is clear the deep state is working to bring the U.S. into military confrontation with Iran. Never mind the people who voted for Trump because he said he would stop the endless wars. Again, Trump is basically not really in charge. I mean, he's basically doing what he's being told to do. Another one, angel mothers whose children were killed by illegal aliens protested Pelosi and Schumer, who refused to fund the wall. Angel mothers whose children were killed by illegal aliens visited the office of Pelosi, has refused to fund the wall, and her staff reported that she was not there and unable to meet with the women. Of course she wasn't. However, Pelosi was reported to be hiding behind the wall in her office as someone who had an appointment was escorted into her office. The angel moms then protested in Senate Minority Chuck Schumer's office over his refusal to fund the Mexican border wall. When angel moms are joined by families who have lost loved ones to the opioid crisis from drugs bought in through the porous open border. Guys, we have to do something with the border. I understand that we don't really want to have a national emergency cleared. I got that. But Trump made a horrible, stupid mistake last year when he signed the budget without forcing his Republican Senate and House to do it. And he would have it had been a much, much, much easier way to do it. By the way, these MS-13 gangs are now laughing how easy it is to get into the United States through the open porous border, which, of course, we've already known that. Obama's former patrol chief says that MS-13 gang laughs at how easy it is to cross the U.S. border and what a joke it is as far as our border security and how they like to just come into our country at will and kill at will and go back to their countries at will, pretending like there is no border whatsoever. Guys, this ain't cutting it, and we got to fix it. Hey, guys, hey, I want to thank you for listening to the show today. I appreciate you guys. I love you so much. You guys are absolutely awesome. I had the opportunity, the privilege to pray for you again today. Thank you. I just appreciate you. And thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from Health Masters, and thanks for supporting us. You guys are absolutely the best. God bless you. I'll do the write-up also, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys. Emails. I got a lot of different responses on the show we did yesterday, but I wanted to have that. I wanted to have kind of that, you know, that back and forth so you guys can kind of see some of the stances that I'm at, but some of the factual standpoints that Chuck's brought up. And not that we always agree on everything, but we definitely bring different ideas and opinions to the table. But I am under the very strong feeling that we have to do something about this. It's just like Dad said. It's sad that nothing got done when we had Republicans holding both, and now it's becoming like this, you know, whatever. But one thing that is true, it is true, and as we brought up yesterday, as long as a government stays shut down, it is preserving our liberties, at least for the time being, because until the government reopens, they're enacting no new bills. They're not pushing anything through. Everything halts. Everything stops. Everything's just, boom, for right now. And, take it for what it is, whether it's positive or negative, it doesn't matter. That's what we're in right now. It's just the realest of the situation. So something to think about. And if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. You guys voted for the product of the week, and the HGH Stimulate 1, which is a very, very popular product. I love it. I personally take it every single day when I work out, and it's just, it's awesome. I mix a scoop of the HGH Stimulate with two scoops of the Muscle Blast and a scoop of the Magnesium Brain Food in about 30, 35 ounces of water, and I drink that through my entire workout. And I promise you, if you're really active and you train really hard, you will be shocked on your level of energy, muscle endurance, and blood flow if you run that stack right there during your workout. And the nice thing about it is there's no stimulants. You guys know I try to stay away from a lot of stimulants because of my heart, and there's no caffeine in it at all. You're just dealing with straight pure aminos, the HGH Stimulate with the other amino acids in it and nutrients in it, and the magnesium, which is incredibly good for your muscles and your heart. So those three are just a great little stack together there. But if you just want to buy the HGH Stimulate by itself, it is on sale for over 15% off right now as the product of the week. So I figured you guys would enjoy that as it's so popular and people use it anything from increased sex drive to help with healthy blood pressure, to help out with more energy, to help out with muscle endurance, to help out with natural HGH production when you go to bed. Really versatile product, really clean, really pure. It's awesome. So be sure to check that out if you're interested on the website at healthmasters.com. And also, please vote for the other products we have up listed right now. We got some pretty cool ones on there, the Probiotic 100 Billion, the Vitamin E, the Super Potent E, which is really popular as well, the Vive, also the Muscle Blast, what I was just talking about. So check that out, guys. If you need anything, healthmasters.com, or give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always. We'll